Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to begin in verse 8. And before we get there, I just want to say what an honor it is to be here with you, serving as your pastor. Thank you for being here. I could have showed up today. And saw no one and been like, oh my goodness. So thank you that you're here. That tells me you're okay with this. And I just also want to publicly say thank you to my pastor, Stan Michelle. Thank you so much for believing in us. You know, this is a rare moment, honestly, because if you know anything about church world, it's very hard to pull off a transition and do it smoothly and do it with unity and with everyone involved. And I believe we've been able to do that today. And a lot of times when a pastor steps down from his role, you'll find a year to 3 year transition of looking for a new pastor and trying to find someone to fit. And the good news is today, you know what you're getting and I know what I'm getting. So I'm okay with that. And hopefully you are. So once again, thank you. Let's begin with reading in verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, verse 8 and 9, really, my text today is going to come from verse 10. But verse 8 and 9 really help us understand verse 10. Because if you've been involved in church at all, you've probably heard people talk about works and grace and how those two things add up. And a lot of people that don't come to church, they say, well, church people just think you have to do good things and that's what gets you to heaven. And we all understand that it's grace. It's God's grace that none of us deserve that allows us to be accepted and to be able to follow Jesus Christ. But what happens when we recognize how God's grace is applied to our lives and how much He loves us, we in turn want to do good works. We want to do things to please God because He is pleasing to us. That's where verse 10 comes in. There's four really big statements in these 22 words of verse 10. The first one says, we are God's handiwork. You know, the word handiwork comes from the Greek word poema, where we get our word poem. We are God's poem. We are His artwork, and He is writing a poem as we live out our lives for Him. Doesn't that feel good just to know that we are God's poem? We are His handiwork, created in Christ Jesus. Now, you can be identified by a lot of things today. You can be identified by where you work. Oh, well, Roger, yeah, he's the guy that has the pawn shop. Or Pastor Stan, the guy that always works at Cornerstone. You can be known by that. You can be identified by your name. Oh, they're part of the main family. But you can also be identified by knowing that you were created in Christ Jesus. And what if people were to know you that way and say, that guy was created in Christ? Wouldn't that be a great thing? To be known as someone who was created in Christ Jesus. Why? To do good works, not just works, not just good works to get us to heaven. That's not why we do them. We do them because we want to please God. And He's already prepared a list for you. Now, how many of you men, when you get home from work in the afternoon, the wife already has a list made out of things for you to do? God has already got a to-do list for every one of us. And when we come to the point where we know that we are serving Him, if we will understand that we are equipped for everything He asks us to do, He would never ask us to do anything we couldn't do. And He wouldn't ask us to do something that we were not equipped to do. So look to your neighbor and say, you are equipped to serve. We are equipped to do good works. There's two parts of this today. First of all, I want us to look at what it means to be equipped and how we can apply that to our lives. And secondly, I want to look at an example in the Bible as David and Goliath. The story that we all know, we've heard since we were a child, if you've grown up in church. But I love the story of David and Goliath because David understood that he was equipped to do what God had called him to do. Now, as many of you know, I'm a guy. That's pretty obvious, right? Guys love, it is good to know. Guys love to be equipped. No matter what you're doing, if you're working, if you have a hobby, if you like to fish, golf, hunt, whatever it is you do, part of the fun is getting the equipment. Am I right, guys? That's right. We have to have the best. We have to have exactly what we need, even when it comes to working on something. Now, this week, I had to work on my mower. It broke down, and so my neighbor's helping me. And we have it in his garage, and we're tearing it apart. And I'm going to use some words that might lose some of you, but basically we had to remove the transaxle. Yeah, that sounds really like I know what I'm talking about, and I don't. But to remove that, we had a bar in the way. And it just had two pins that had to be knocked out. So we needed a simple tool called a punch. And if you don't know what that is, it's kind of, you know, a hard piece of metal that gets to a point so that you can pop things out of a hole. That's really what it is. But we needed one. We tried a screwdriver. We tried a nail. We tried everything we could find to do what the punch needed to do. But we didn't have a punch. So after 45 minutes of trying to do this and getting nowhere, I finally just broke down and went to Lowe's and got a punch, which is kind of fun because now if I need a punch, I've got them. Right? That's part of the fun is getting the equipment. But once we got that, when we got back and we used the right tool, it was amazing how easy it was. Seconds later, we had the piece that we needed out of there, out of the way. If we just started by going to Lowe's, we'd have saved a lot of time, but we didn't do that. But guys, we like to be equipped, but I can't just pick on the guys today. Girls, I know when it comes to, I'm just going to say one thing. When it comes to hair, you like to be equipped. I know this. And I had a little fun this week. Melinda Kimmis is one of the hairstylists in town, and she attends our church. So I messaged her because I've been in her salon, and I know the equipment that she has to use to fix ladies' hair, sometimes guys. But this is the picture of what she uses. Look at that nice toolbox being used for the equipment to fix hair. That's nicer than the toolbox I have in my garage. I'm a little jealous. But girls, you like your equipment too. No matter what we're doing, we like to be equipped. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to read verses 20 and 21. Chapter 13, verse 20 says, "May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep." Now, I just said a lot there. And really, you can get lost in all the words. It's really just describing who God is. Listen to it again. "May the God of peace, who brought Jesus Christ back from the dead," is really what the next line says, "that great shepherd of the sheep." That's all that was saying. So don't get lost there. "Equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory forever and ever. Amen." The God of peace, the great shepherd, is the one who equips you for the work he calls you to do. Now, I like that he uses the phrase shepherd here. As he was writing to the Hebrews, you know, over 100 times in the Bible, God is referred to as our shepherd and we as the sheep. Now, here's the thing. The picture of a shepherd is of guidance and direction, of care and concern and provision for the sheep. So in other words, the shepherd knows what the sheep needs more than the sheep know themselves. Is that right? So our shepherd knows exactly what we need to be equipped with to do the work he's called us to do. This is encouraging for all of us to know, because we must understand God has already got the list. He's already made it. He may even add to that list things that he wants you to do. But you must understand, he's equipped you to do those things, no matter what it is. And it's all for doing his will. Let me read you another scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And I'll just throw it up on the screen to save time. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be complete," here's this word again, "thoroughly equipped for every good work." There's a pattern here with these scriptures. He's equipping you for his work. It's not just so that we can be equipped to do what we want to do. Now, some of us have some abilities. some things we're good at. But sometimes that takes practice. Sometimes that takes work to become good at that. And God can use those abilities, but He's also placed things in your heart that only you can do. You know that? I hope you recognize there are things that only you can do that I could never do. And God placed those on your heart. The problem is sometimes we have trouble just stepping out, just becoming who we need to be. And that's where David comes in. I want to look at David's life and see how obedient he was, even in the small things. And as he became obedient in the small things, he became a giant killer. So turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to begin reading in verse 48. It says, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Now he's meeting a giant. And he's running towards him. Already he's got the confidence. He's not trying to sneak around behind him. He's not trying to figure out another way to do this. He's just running after him. And he's going right toward the enemy. Understand that today. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it, struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Notice these next words. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. Now, why would they put that in there? Because these are soldiers. And they had armor, they had shields, they had swords, they had everything they needed for battle. David was going about this a little bit unconventional. He wasn't using what normal people would use to fight. He showed up with a sling and some stones. But he showed up with more than that. He showed up with the power of God to help defeat Goliath. He was just a shepherd boy. And he showed up and he won a battle that he wasn't even fighting. You understand that? He was just showing up to deliver some food, actually. As I step into this role as pastor, I could look at my flaws and my deficiencies and wonder, can I do this? I could worry about my own problems or my own issues, or I can focus on the fact that it's not about my ability. It's about the one who does not know the impossible. It's about the one that does not know failure. And as long as I'm following him and believing him, I believe I can do this. But I can't do it on my own. I need you to believe the same thing. I need you to believe that you can step out and do what God has called you to do. Because together, we can grow this church. Together, we can bring people closer to Christ and bring lost people to Christ. Do you believe that? But it takes all of us. Understanding that God has equipped us for every good work. I believe some of you in here are equipped to be a small group leader. Some of you are equipped to be a children's worker. And God's got it on your to-do list. He may have already been talking to you about it long before today. I believe some of you, God may place something on your heart just as we're speaking. But whatever it is, we must be willing to obey and step out. And I can set your mind at ease this morning because it doesn't matter your flaws, your past, or your failures. It matters in the one you serve and the one you believe in, and He will equip you to do what He's called you to do. Let's turn one chapter back and we're going to learn some more about David. Chapter 16, we'll begin in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Since I have rejected him as king over Israel, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem, for I have chosen one of his sons to be king. So here's Samuel. He's going to look for the next king. He goes to Jesse's house and says, hey, get all your sons together because one of them is going to be the next king and I want to anoint him with oil. Now look at verse 6. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab. Eliab was David's oldest brother, who probably fit the bill. He looked like he could be a king. And so surely, Samuel said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see what man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I bet we could look around today and we could pick some people who we think would make a great leader. We think could make a great small group leader. But you know what? God may be calling someone totally different. Because it's not up to me to find that person. It's just up to you to step out and say, I'm willing. I can ask you to do something, and I hope. I've had people come to me since they found out I'm going to do this and say, anything you need. And I totally appreciate that. But my response to that is, thank you, but anything God needs you to do, just step out and do it, and you'll do exactly what I need you to do. Those roles that are empty right now, that need to be filled, those ministries that haven't even began. I am so excited about Man Up. I believe Man Up could be the best men's ministry in town, and bringing men who never thought they would darken the door of a church could be coming to our church. Do you believe that? I strongly believe that. And I'm encouraged by those who have already stepped up and want to be a part of that. Just getting to know each other and building each other up in Christ. We've already began doing that. But some of you have just said, well, I don't really have time. Or I'd like to, it sounds good, but I just haven't stepped out. We need you in Man Up. We need some men, some dads who will be men of God in their home. Some husbands who will be who God's called them to be in their home. That's what Man Up means. Doing what you already know you need to be doing, you just haven't been doing. Look at verse 11 through 13. He went through all of his sons, Samuel did, and they couldn't find the king. God kept saying, that's not the one. So finally, in verse 11, he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? And Jesse's response is, they're still the youngest. He's out tending the sheep. Now, I find this interesting. That Samuel has come to Jesse's house to find a king. And he says, bring all your sons in because one of them is going to be the next king. And Jesse doesn't even think to say, hey, I better go send a servant to get David. Think about that. Jesse didn't even think David was going to be the guy. And how does he refer to him? Oh, I've got the youngest. He's out tending to the sheep. He didn't say, I've got the harp player or the shepherd. Or he didn't refer to, I got the youngest. He's just out tending some sheep. You know what? We've got some young people sitting right up here today. Some Davids that could be killing some giants. And you might see them as just young people, but they're a lot more than that. They are called of God, and they can do great and mighty things if they're just willing to step out. We could see so many more up there if we will just be willing to sometimes just ask. Just ask our neighbor. Just talk to that person at our school and say, hey, will you come with me to church? That may be as simple as it needs to be for you to obey God in doing what he's called you to do. Look at verse 12. So he went to find David and he brought him in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. This is when David began to understand that God was on his side. And with him, anything was possible. And if we will understand today that God can anoint you and has anointed you to do the same thing. Once again, it comes to obedience. If God's telling you to do something, he's equipped you to do it. You don't have to read 5 books first. You don't have to memorize the New Testament first. Just step out. Are those things good? Absolutely. Do we need to be reading the Bible? Absolutely. We need to be praying. We need to be talking to God and communing with him and developing a relationship with him. But sometimes we're doing that part. We're just not willing to step out and do what he asks us to do. I know you feel like I'm putting a lot of pressure on you today. You know what? I wear this. I believe in what I'm talking about. I'm not just saying it. So this is to me as much as any of you. So I hope you understand this. I want to show you a today example of David. And I think there's one great one we have part of our church. He's not here today because he's serving in ministry in Cameron. I remember I came here 8 years ago, so probably 6 or 7 years ago. I began to hear Aaron Douglas's name come up a lot about how he was getting involved in the youth ministry. He started a junior high small group at his house. He started driving the Chula bus to pick up students. And as a teacher, he just began to step out and do what God had called him to do. And he started sharing the love of Jesus in the classroom with his students. Did he know he was going to become our youth pastor? I don't think so. Not at that time. He was just being obedient to what God had called him to do. And the ministry began then. And before long, we had a role that needed to be filled, and Aaron was the guy to fill it. Did he know when he came here he was going to be starting a church in Cameron? Absolutely not. But everything that Aaron did, he was stepping out, doing what God had called him to do, and God was equipping him for the moment when he walked into Cameron and said, I'm starting a church, let's go. And you know what he's doing now? He's killing giants. I absolutely believe he is tearing it up in Cameron. Lost people are being saved, they're being baptized, and he's got great numbers going over there. He's killing giants. But it started with tending some sheep. It started with delivering some bread. If you're willing to do the small things, the daily things that God calls you to do, before long, you'll find yourself killing some giants. Back at our text, let's go back to chapter 17. I know I'm telling this story kind of randomly, but I hope you're tracking with me. Chapter 17, verse 8. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. Then the Philistine said, this day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. On hearing the Philistine's words, listen to this, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. These were the warriors. These were the soldiers that had been fighting in battle. And they were scared stiff, is the best way to say it. They had the equipment that they thought they needed. They had the armor and the swords and everything they thought they needed for battle, but they couldn't go in because they were scared. They didn't realize that there was someone else out there that could help them win the battle. Look at verse 17. Now Jesse said to his son David, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread to your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of the unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. You know, David could have responded several different ways here. For one, he's already just the guy that's out tending the sheep. He could have said, you know, I'm going to be the next king, right? And you've got me delivering food to my brothers. You know what? He just obeyed. He did the small things. Do you think he woke up that morning and said, I'm going to kill a giant today? No. He had no idea what he was going into. But he was equipped and he was prepared for that moment. And that's what I'm asking you to do today, is just begin now by doing the small things. And equipping yourself, preparing yourself, because God's already equipped you. Preparing yourself to be ready when he calls on you. God was equipping me to be a worship leader long before I was ever here, a part of Cornerstone Church. I didn't show up the day I came to try to get the job and say, well, I don't play the guitar, but I want to be the worship leader. When I started ministry, I started playing the guitar out of necessity. We didn't have a worship leader, so I'm it. So I started learning to play the guitar. God began equipping me then for what he called me to do here. And through these last 8 years, I've had a leader who's been preparing me and equipping me, not just in God, but in a pastor who spends every week pouring into his staff and encouraging us and teaching us so that I could be ready for this moment. God knew I was going to be here. I didn't. This came as a surprise to me too. I'm happy to be here and I'm ready because God has equipped me. Some of us want to go kill giants when we haven't been willing to just tend some sheep. It starts with some small things, the everyday things. Some of us want to kill giants. We haven't been willing to just deliver some bread. Begin now. Just doing the small things and you'll begin killing giants before you know it. David's job was just to deliver food this day. You know, I think about Bryce Baker. Are you here, Bryce? He is. You know, he showed up a few months ago and he said, I want to mow the lawn for the church. Many of you don't even know this. As beautiful as it looks every day when you pull in, that's thanks to Bryce Baker. You might think that's a small thing. But when I'm here working, I get paid to be here, okay? So I'm here working throughout the day. But when I look outside and see someone giving their time and their own equipment to do the work of ministry because God asked them to, he didn't ask for a paycheck. He didn't ask for anything. He just wanted to show up and serve. That encourages me to do so much more. Because I look into my life and I say, what can I be doing beyond what I'm just thinking I need to be doing? God, what do you want me to do? What do I need to do to obey you and to serve you like you need me to serve? Thank you, Bryce, for doing what God has called you to do and for just being willing. Don't think that you have to be here on stage on Sunday morning to serve God. David was not even a soldier in the army, yet he won the battle. Think about that. He was not even a soldier in the army, but he won the battle. You can win some battles, not only for the kingdom, but for Cornerstone Church, as being a part of Manna, as being a part of our children's ministry, as being a part of something that may be already placed in you that hasn't even begun yet. It just means you have to step out. Look at verse 28. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? He's mocking his own brother. People are going to mock you sometimes. You may step out and say, I need to do this. And people may laugh or they may wonder, what in the world are you doing? But you know what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. And you can defeat some giants because you're equipped by God. Understand that today. Marla, you better come because I'm getting ramped up here. So I believe some of you are equipped to kill some giants and we need you. But as she's coming, I had lunch with somebody. I want to share this with you. I won't even tell you who they are because I didn't ask if I could share this. But just this week, I was having lunch with someone in our church who honestly is already killing giants. They're involved in three different ministries that I know of, maybe even more. And as we were talking with them, and I began to say, thank you for the ministry that you're already doing. You know what they said to me? God started calling me to do this over a year ago. And I just didn't step out and do it. And I think some of you in this room today, God's already been working on you for a long time, maybe months, maybe years, and you just haven't been willing to step out. Once again, some of you, maybe today, that he drops this in your heart. All you have to be willing to do is step out. You are equipped to do what he's asked you to do, or you wouldn't ask. Would you stand to your feet? If you don't get anything else out of this today, I want you to hear this scripture. You don't need your Bible to hear this. It'll be up here. I'm going to begin reading in verse 41. But I want you to hear what David says to Goliath. And if you can write this scripture down later, memorize it. I don't care if you tattoo it on your arm. Do something that you know this scripture. I'm teasing. You don't have to tattoo on me. See all you at the tattoo parlors. If you do anything, remember this scripture. And understand, David knew what it was to be equipped by God. And he ran towards the enemy because of this scripture. Listen to this. I want to read in verse 41. Meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. And he said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. Now, can you imagine what David's thinking at this time? Many of us probably think he might have been scared. No. Uh-uh. Listen to this next scripture and understand, he wasn't worried at all. He's probably laughing and saying, this giant has no idea what he's up against. Look at verse 45. He says, you come at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. He understood that he was equipped by God Almighty, and that's all that mattered. Come on, church, do you understand that you are equipped just as David was? The same God that helped him kill the giant can help you defeat anything in your life. Doesn't matter what it is. Marriages can be put back together. The giant that's been defeating you can be defeated because of God we serve. We need you on the team. We need you as part of this church. Every week, doing the small things, doing the little things. And before long, you'll be killing giants. Some of you already are. And I thank you for that. Let's go back to our main text. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Man, get out your list and start checking them off. Just start marking them off. The things God's called you to do, and do it. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you to do something very bold today. Probably a little different than what you used to. But after I pray, I believe some of you have been too scared to just step out. So I'm going to ask you to do that today. I'm going to ask you just to step out of your seat and come forward. You can kneel down here. You can stand. I don't care. It's not for me. It's not so that I can get people to say, wow, look at the commitment we have. I want you to commit to God. God, I will step out from this moment on. It just sometimes takes that first step. And the moment you do that, you'll begin to commit to serving God the way He's equipped you to do. So I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to ask you to begin to pray. As you make your way forward and say, God, here I am. Use me. I know I'm equipped to serve. I will begin to do that this day. Lord, thank you for your promises that you give us. And thank you that we serve the same God that David served. And no giant is too big for us to defeat. God, there are some Davids in this room right now. They've just not been willing to step out. Give them boldness today to step out and accept the call that you placed upon them. In your name we pray. Amen. If that's you this morning, step out. Come on. I know there's some of you here. God's been working on you. God, as you see these who have stepped forward, I pray a boldness begins to step into their heart like they've never known. God, that this would not be a one-day commitment. This would be a lifetime commitment to serving you. Church, I believe there's some giant doers out there. Just be willing to step out and do what God has called you to do, what He's equipped you to do. Amen. God, thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for your love, for your mercy, and your grace. God, just be with us this week. May we begin to do the small things.